you just sat there and you watched it. This is funny.
Okay, good afternoon. We'll call to order the State Department and Veterans Budget Division for Tuesday, March 11, 2014, and it is about 3:13 p.m. In a quorum, we're just about to get a quorum. Members, today we have four bills on our agenda. You will have copies of all four bills in your packet, and we will distribute handouts as the bills are presented. Two of the bills are bonding requests, and two are appropriations. The intent is to lay them over today for possible inclusion in an upcoming bonding memo and possible supplemental budget bill that we will be crafting as we get closer to the deadline. With that, we will start. Senator Hoffman, we'll begin with you, and Senate File 2400, which is Brooklyn Park Armory Renovation Bond Issue and Appropriation. And you can start whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Senate File 2400 is with the State Department and Veterans Division, and it's regarding one of the great cities I represent, Brooklyn Park, and it's the Armory renovation, and it's a bond issue and appropriation, just so we're clear. Madam Chair and members of the committee, thank you for hearing 2400. I'm recommending that this bill be passed and laid over for inclusion. As you so noted, Madam Chair, but I'm not in part of this group, so I'm not going to bore you with that. So with me at the table today is Don Kerr. He is the Executive Director for the Department of Military Affairs. The funding called for in this bill would help modernize and expand the armory, and it includes the upgrades for training to meet building codes. Currently, that old building, which is beyond the 25-year expansion and Army's renovation guide, timeline is up for renovation and also needs a potential expansion, which matches the Guard's typical timeline for Army renovation. The Brooklyn Park Armory hosts the A Company 134th Brigade Support Battalion. That's 184 soldier unit. The city and Guard share the armory classroom space and the drill floor. This serves the community as a whole, which you know Brooklyn Park is a population of around 69,000 people, and it serves the community in a more comprehensive way. I'd like to turn this over to Don Kerr from Veterans Department of Military Affairs, Madam Chair.
Okay, and before you do that, I'll just quote that I'll just state that we have a quorum present. Thank you, Mr. Kerr.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I am Don Kerr from the Department of Military Affairs. We are here to speak in favor of this. This is one of the projects that we will be briefing you on later in our capital budget submission, but it's important that it gets included in the statute. Whenever we do an addition to an armory, we must have the legislature's explicit approval. Normally, when we just do an upgrade, that isn't required, but when we are intending to expand the footprint, it is required to be in statute. Currently, we're seeking federal funding. We do not have that federal funding in hand, but we are highly confident because there is a new category of funding that's available to us. We did make an application for that funding in FY14, but the National Guard Bureau determined there were insufficient applications to even render a decision, and we will be resubmitting that for 15. Again, highly confident that we'll get that funding. That will result in an 88-12 match, federal to state, to do this rather extensive renovation. And there is a three-slide packet there that shows the footprint. We'll be doing a fairly extensive addition to the adding a second story to the existing facility and adding a portion that will also include two stories, plus an expansion of their compound. So again, due for a batch project regardless. In the event that we do not get the federal funding, we will continue after a couple of tries to just do a normal upgrade to the existing facility footprint. And that's where that $1.1 million from the state share would come in, $1.244 million from the state share would come in the event that we are unsuccessful in gaining the funding.
I have one quick question. How many additional armories, or do you know how many additional armories need appropriations for repairs or bonding for repairs?
Madam Chair and members, in our bonding proposal, we're naming two because we are expanding. It is our intention to do renovation to about three per year. We're on pace to do that. What that gets to with 63 in the fleet, that gets us to about every 20 years we get into every armory and get a chance to do an upgrade to the roof, windows, boiler, and other things that need to be done. So we're kind of on a 20-year cycle, and three projects a year gets us to that point. We do have some queued up, and those will come forward, Madam Chair, in the additional bonding proposal of what our plans are.
Thank you. Senator Metzen.
Yeah, Madam Chair, it's good to see you. First of all, this project looks real good, but the leverage is really astronomical. I mean, the state 1.2 and the feds 88%. We don't see that often around this building, so that's a great thing if you can get $9.5 million from the feds to leverage to get the 1.2 from this body. So good work, but you got to get it. And I imagine, Madam Chair, that obviously it's dependent on that. So if we could pass it out of here, but it would have to contingent upon you. I missed a little bit of the presentation, but I imagine that'd be contingent on the 88%.
Okay.
Yep, Mr. Kerr.
Madam Chair, Senator Metzen, yes, I do have a little bit of detail in one of the sheets with regard to our process. So every year we compete at the national level for MILCON projects. Each state gets a MILCON project every 3 to 5 years on average. We see that cycle slowing down. The problem we're seeing is that the MILCON projects are being approved at the $20 million to $30 million level or 15 to 30. And so that's a disincentive for us to go ask for a smaller project. So the National Guard Bureau created a second category of smaller called, it's in the document.
SURFRE?
Yeah, the critical unfunded requirement listing. And we did put in the application for the critical unfunded requirement in FY14, and no winners were selected. They carried them forward, and we'll resubmit at 15. We have a very high level of confidence, Senator, that we'll be selected for this thing. If not at 15, then by 16. So that's what we expect.
Commend Senator Hoffman for legislation forward.
Madam Chair, Senator Metzen, thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
Any other questions, members? Okay, seeing none, we will lay this bill on the table. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee.
Next, we have Senator Wieger, Senate File 1893, North St. Paul Military Veterans Memorial Bond Issue and Appropriation.
Madam Chair, while there will be five of us up here, three are testifying.
Members in our building. Lily, Representative Lily's here.
Thank you.
We let you in.
Madam Chair, members, Senate File 1893 seeks a $100,000 appropriation for the North St. Paul Veterans Memorial Park. A lot of work's been done. You're going to hear about that. And we'll go first to the Mayor of North St. Paul, Mike Keene.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. It's a great pleasure to be here today and appreciate the time to be able to testify before the committee.
And could you just state your name?
Sure, it's Michael Keene, K-U-E-H-N. I'm the Mayor of North St. Paul, Minnesota. I also want to point out I'm the kindergarten classmate of Senator Wieger. We've been friends for 57 years, even though we're still in our 40s. So,
you look a lot younger, though.
But, Madam Chair, members, what started here is, I think, somewhat of a local project has grown significantly. This is not a war memorial. This is a veterans memorial. And North St. Paul is a freestanding growth center community, has identified for many years with South White Bear Lake, with North Oakdale, with North Maplewood. And when we started this veterans program, which is a joint project with the city, our veterans organizations, the North St. Paul High School Junior ROTC program, the North St. Paul Park and Recreation Commission, and our business community, many of the people who have purchased memorial pavers, et cetera, as we move this project along, are not even from our community, but they have an interest in wanting their family members remembered. And you'll hear a lot more detail in a few minutes. But for me, why we're before the state asking and seeking some assistance is we feel we're at a point now where to complete the project, we've gone almost as far as we can with local money. We've raised, and you'll hear that, about, I think, over $80,000 now. And we're at a point where we think it has a lot of advantage to try to make this truly a sub-regional facility. And part of this is also a trail of history that will be built that will identify a lot of the significant war events, not only for Northeast Metro Area residents, but also for state militia as well. And other thing that we think is important from a state perspective, this is directly across Highway 36 from the state-owned Gateway Trail, which is also adjacent to the very historical North St. Paul 50-foot-tall snowman. And so as a result, we feel that it also has a unique characteristic to attract statewide attention that way. So at this time, I'm going to turn it over to one of our members of our memorial committee, Mr. Dan Fisher.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, committee. I appreciate your time to listen to our appeal for this Veterans Park project that we've had. In 2010, a group of veterans stepped forward, not monument builders, but veterans, and they stepped up to renew the effort to build on Old Cannon Park. And they've come together through the efforts of the city, the local community, the two veterans group, the ROTC, as the mayor has mentioned, to come up with a design that's unique. It's for the North St. Paul area, including everything in our zip code. And the community, our business community, has stepped up also. We have achieved most of our sales primarily through the effort of these pavers. As you can see, there's areas for pavers in the red. There's a wall to commemorate the veterans who gave all, which in this case from World War I to Iraq has been 28 names. And the pavers are open to anybody in any community, as this group paver for 1,000 with the USS Ward, an iconic ship in Minnesota history, has brought crewmen from families who have purchased pavers to snug up against this one. That's the unique thing that's happened, is the community growth by these pavers. So thank you for listening to that story that we bring to you.
Thank you. Madam Chair, you've heard from the co-chair from the VFW, Dan Fisher, and now I'd like to turn to Tom Trost, who's the former commander of the American Legion Post 39.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, thank you very much again for letting us go ahead and tell our story. And hopefully,
Can you just state your name for the record?
Oh, my name is Tom Trost. I'm a retired Command Sergeant Major, 26 years in the United States Army. Our fundraising to date, I'm the finance officer for our group. We've raised $80,176.09. And that includes 331 individual pavers at $100 a piece, 23 group pavers or corporate pavers at $1,000 a piece, and donations in general totaling $24,076.09. So we've got a real good, a feel-good story from there. Now, a lot of people would look at that and say, well, you know, there's more than 331 people in North St. Paul. That's probably where all the pavers came from. But ironically, those pavers have come from places like Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, New York, California, Texas, and Arizona. They've come from across the metro and across the state. There are groups of family groups. There's 14 in one family that have bought pavers representing service from the Civil War to people currently on active duty. We've got pavers. Let's see. There's two stories I'd like to tell you. One story is about a veteran that was that his family, great-great-grandson, had bought a paver for from Hastings. He was on the SS Hastings during the Civil War. This veteran got his left arm blown off, and all this was included, along with several other things, in their request for a paver at the North St. Paul Veterans Park. The other story I want to pass on to you is a purchase of two pavers at two different times. World War II veteran had passed away, and his son and his spouse had bought a paver for him. About 3 months later, the son and spouse bought another paver. Come to find out that his best friend also served in World War II with him. And they thought that it would be only appropriate that they would spend eternity next to each other, so the pavers will be co-located, and to be able to talk about their adventures and misadventures. So the the point of the pavers, you know, a lot of people will say that or may say that this is a local thing, and it's not. We've got people from all over the state and really all over the country. We also, as the mayor said, this is not a war memorial but a Veterans Park memorial, and it encompasses veterans who have seen service in conflicts from the Civil War to current day. And though we don't have a lot of the older veterans' names who died in those conflicts who would be on those walls, as we would get them, we'd go ahead and be able to replace them or put those on there. I think that's all I have. Do you have any questions of us?
Madam Chair.
Before you start, Senator Madden, Representative Lilly, did you have any comments?
Senator Disick and esteemed senators, thank you for allowing me to come across the street here. This is a great project, and it's really nice. You know, they've done a lot already, a lot of volunteerism, a lot of they raised a lot of money, and they're just really they're passionate, and it's just doing it for all the right reasons, and it's just it's an honor to be involved. And to do what we can as citizens that didn't serve but have relatives that did or, you know, or community members. But thanks for hearing it, and it's really a nice group. Senator Wieger has worked really hard on this as well, and so thank you.
Thank you. Senator Metzen.
Yeah, thank you very much, Madam Chair. Senator Wieger, I kind of view this as more of a North St. Paul memorial. I think, like Mr. Trost said, certainly a statewide significant memorial, and somebody was talking about it's not just North St. Paul either, it's your zip code, is that correct, Mayor, that takes in other surrounding communities, so it's not, it says North St. Paul on here, but it, I think you mentioned, give me the names of some of the surrounding communities sure. that are part of this.
Madam Chair, Senator Metzen, yes, it has involved, because North St. Paul is an old freestanding growth center. We have many people who live in the area or who have lived in the area in some cases who identify. So as we started to sell pavers, we found out people have moved away and many live in other states, but there are many people who also are in the Northeast metro area. Just like I think both of our representatives of our veterans groups today, I think are both of them are non-North St. Paul residents, but they're involved with this because they live in the area. So we think it has at least sub-regional significance, and it's open to any person who wants to buy a paver to honor a veteran, even if you aren't the veteran yourself. So we have opened that up, and we have gotten a great response.
Okay.
Thank you.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Wieger, to your testifiers, how do people – it looks like it's kind of an intersection here, but how do people access – or will how will they access this park? Is there parking for people? I don't see anything like that, but maybe there's some things in the plans that are not revealed.
The parking at present, Dan Fisher, Mr. Senator, at present is an on-street parking in the local area. We do plan to add parking where we can based on the regulations that the city has for a number of people attending and how many places are to be left for that purpose. The other point that makes us unique is that it's similar to many of the monuments that are in Washington, D.C., which are accessed by public transit, by walking tours throughout the city and across the other side of the bridge. It's strategically located next to the school for
North High School.
North High School for the purpose of education, hence the ring around it will be education spots, but it's also equidistant between the VFW, the Legion, and City Hall. So it ties all portions of the city in at that location, and the historical part of it being Old Cannon Park.
Any other questions, members? Thank you. I worked on, in the last few years, I worked on, had the honor to work on the Victory Memorial Drive Memorial, and we had that upgraded. And then in Northeast Minneapolis, we have Sheridan Memorial Park, and both of them were very much appreciated by the neighbors and the neighborhoods and by everybody involved and are enjoyed by a lot of people and actually are both near bike paths and on bike paths. They're on the one is on the Grand Rounds, and they do get a lot of bikers coming by and stopping to look at the memorials. So thank you and good luck.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and members.
Oh, and with that, we'll lay the bill on the table. Thank you. Next, we have Senator Westrum. Senate File 2086, Eagles Healing Nest for Veterans Appropriation.
Whenever you are, Madam Chair.
Okay, Senator Westrum, first I'll say we have an amendment here. I don't know if this is a delete all that you have, or do you want to offer the amendment?
If you would do that, Madam Chair, I don't believe it's a delete all. Staff could maybe advise.
It is a delete all.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yes, my understanding.
I didn't know how they drafted it.
Yeah, my understanding is it's a delete all, and so it's I believe this is the first hearing, and so it gets it in a form that you would like it to be heard in. So.
Right. And Madam Chair, I can just briefly describe the delete all. It's the same intent. It's just directing that these dollars would come out of a Support the Troops Fund that has been previously allocated, and that's what that amendment, the net effect of the amendment is.
Okay. Senator Dames, will you move the amendment?
So moved.
Okay. And with that, Senator Westrum, you can start.
Madam Chair, committee members.
We need to adopt the amendment. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Okay, now Senator Westrum, sorry.
Madam Chair, committee members, what this bill is a $100,000 request from current funds to be used at the facility in my district in Stearns County in the city of Sauk Center, but west of St. Cloud, about 30 miles is where this is located. And what it would do is would help several of the veterans with expenses, primarily room and board. And what this facility does is, I will touch on it briefly, and then Melanie, the director, is here to give you a little more in depth of the Eagle's Nest or the Eagle's Healing Nest. But this fall, with Commissioner Jessen and Representative Abler, on Veterans Day, I had the privilege of joining them for their Veterans Day service and all the veterans that are there for healing. And it deals with reintegrating into society with post-traumatic stress disorder and you name it, issues that our veterans who have fought for us, who have defended our country, find themselves facing upon return or months or weeks or months or years after they return and they can't quite figure out why things aren't going well in their families, with their children, with their wives, with their parents, with you name it. And that's what has led to the birth of this center. And so they've got a compelling story, a very unique approach, and a lot of veterans that are healing and very much committed to the success of this facility, and it's got a unique approach, as I said. And I will leave it at that, and ask the director to introduce herself and give you a little background on this facility and why we have this legislation in front of us.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Butler.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee. My name is Melanie Butler. I'm the director of Eagles Healing Nest. I am also a military wife. My husband served two tours, one in Iraq and one in Afghanistan. I'm also a Blue Star mother of three. Two are combat vets. So the story started back when I was a young child in the Vietnam veteran era and listening to the stories around a campfire in very remote areas. But I made a promise to them that I would always help veterans. If you fast forward and I became a military wife and mom, my family did what they were asked to do and served. And when they came home, there was issues. For 22 years, I was very active in family readiness through our Minnesota National Guard. I helped with Beyond the Yellow Ribbon when that was concept was adopted here in Minnesota, and we moved forward and created and trained. But when my husband came home and my son left, when he came home, my next son left. But my oldest son came back, and in a very dark moment, he called and asked me to take care of my grandchildren and to never let them forget. And so I kept him on the phone, but when they found him, they brought him home, and he begged me to let him die the same way my stepfather did. He took his life 8 years ago, but my son is still here. But it took a phone call to get him into the VA by someone much higher than myself. That shouldn't be the case. He needed help, and they're overloaded and overworked. And so I was challenged, as our military is challenged, to come with a solution, not a problem. So I enrolled in school the following Monday. I'm a semester and a class away from my bachelor's in psychology. A small Clarissa American Legion found me 2 years into my education and said, "We heard you're the mom on a mission. We still suffer. We want to do a ride. When you're ready, we'll give you the money to help create your vision." Very shortly thereafter, my son's battle buddies were homeless. I was going out to pick them up, bring them home. They were committing suicide. So I tried to figure out how I could help, and I could provide them a home and find people that could provide services. People said it couldn't be done. They obviously don't know the determination of a mother's love and a strong Beyond the Yellow Ribbon community and state. So with nothing but volunteers, we renovated two buildings at the old Sauk Center School in 2 months' time to be able to house 42 veterans. We networked a host of providers that volunteer and provide services and had up and continue to do so for those veterans that can't get in or are waiting in a backlog or are uncomfortable going back into the system that might have failed them earlier. But we work within those perimeters. We rely completely on donations. When the veterans can contribute, they do, but they take care of each other. You see, it's based on what they've learned to do on the battlefield, and that's leave no one behind. We're just using that same concept and core values here at the Nest. And the same values that I was taught as an FRG leader in Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. So every month we raise $25,000 to $27,000 to pay all of our bills and take care of our veterans. But most of all, we take care of each other. So we don't turn anyone away. 90% of our veterans come from the VA system. Those veterans that don't have the means or the availability to receive any other or be able to take care of themselves. We've had veterans from World War II to current active military members stay at our Nest, but we just take care of each other.
Thank you. Anybody else like to testify? And congratulations on continuing your education.
Thank you.
Madam Chairman, my name is Daniel Klutenkamper. I'm Senate. I'm one of the veterans that resides at the Eagles Healing Nest. Where do I begin? Excuse me. It takes a lot for me to speak in front of you guys. I'm one of the ones that, I guess you could say, suffers from PTSD. I did two tours in Iraq and one in Afghanistan. I was there for the takeover, the last takeover of Fallujah, Ramadi. I was there for this, you know, the surge through Baghdad. And then I spent the 2009 to 2010 up in Kunar province in the Pesh River Valley in Afghanistan and the Pakistani border. So we saw a lot of kinetic activity. They spent years training us how to fight in these wars and not a single day telling us that anything we were feeling on the inside was normal. And we were also told by the service that if we saw anything, did anything, or went through anything that bothered us and we went for help, we would be barred from promotion and eventually chaptered out of the service because it was considered a weakness. This is a stigma that still goes on to this day. So it took me a long time before I got the nerve, you know, it's been 10 years since my first tour coming up this August. There's a lot of things that I just started to address in the last couple of years. When I got out of the service in 2011, after 8 years, I went to the Minneapolis VA. It took me a year to get my first appointment. And then 6 more months before I was in the system before they'd see me. When I went in at the end of 2012 for CPT therapy, which is cognitive processing therapy to help me get through some of the so-called traumatic events, I was given a college intern to help me work through these issues that was literally destroying my life because I had no way how to cope or deal with them appropriately. I was self-medicating through the use of alcohol, which is not frowned upon in the service. It was more or less the more you could drink, the better soldier you were, which is another stigma that needs to be broken. That didn't fix anything. In fact, things got a lot worse. But at the end of that 12-week session, I was told, you're good to go. I was refused medications to help with anxiety, sleep, depression, every time I went and asked. About a year later, I was given an ultimatum where I was going to end up homeless unless I changed my ways, and I had no idea how to go about that. I could not hold a job because I was worried about who was coming in those doors. I don't trust a lot of people. I trusted my platoon. I trust the people at the nest. But you honestly don't know who's got your back in today's society, especially when you return home and nothing's covered anymore. There's no mention of what's going on overseas. You kind of feel as if everybody's kind of forgotten about it. And then when you kind of get the runaround, when we promised the government that we would do everything it took, you know, including giving our lives and limbs, and they said, we'll take care of you when you get back, and they don't, it's kind of a slap across the face. There is a lot of good things that the VA does, so I don't have a lot of negative, but just personal experiences is very frustrating. The suicide rate alone, if they were doing what they were supposed to be, wouldn't be nearly as high as it is. So I went into treatment at the St. Cloud VA, Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, or Minneapolis rather. I got tired of getting the runaround from them. I asked for several different programs, and I was told just keep doing the same old, same old. Went through treatment at the St. Cloud VA when I was under the impression that I was going to get the post-traumatic stress track. When I completed the 34 days of treatment, I asked to extend longer because I understood that I needed more than just 30 days of the programming, which the first 2 weeks was just 2 classes a day, so I kind of wondered why I was there at the cost of what they were getting for me being there when I wasn't learning much. I got a couple of classes for the last 2 weeks, and then, you know, your time's up, you're good to go, here's the door. I met Melanie. She brought me up to the nest. She said I could stay there. She doesn't ask for much. She just asks that we work on doing whatever it takes to get ourselves better. She gives us a lot of programs to work. She gives us a chance to feel safe and secure, which is something I haven't felt in years. I'm not looking over my shoulder for the person that's still in my mind, you know, hunting me. So then on October 1st, when I got to the Eagle's Nest, I was told November 18th, I was promised the PTSD track at the St. Cloud VA. They never called for any checkups, follow-on appointments, nothing. I called them. They never called back. And finally, a week before, I called the PTSD program director, and I was told that I wasn't even on the list for the program anymore. So now I had no clue what to do. I've gotten more help at the vets, or at the nest rather, talking from the non-era gentleman that saw combat because of 2 different wars, but same problems we dealt with coming home in terms of how do you live with everything you've gone through? You know, are we the monsters we think we are? You know, the demons are very real. You get the survivor's guilt. You get everything. You beat yourself up. You kind of wish that, you know, you did pass away with your friends over there because there's not a lot to live for when you first come back. Just a lot of hurt. Life has gotten a lot better. I finally found task and direction and purpose again. When I was in, everything I did was for my platoon. I mean, there was not a thing I wouldn't do for those boys. And I'm kind of angry that I got out and they're still over there in Afghanistan right now, outside of Kandahar. I wish I was with them. And I'm not saying that I want to go back into combat. Combat sucks. I'm just saying that the brotherhood is stronger than any relationship you can understand. And that's the biggest thing that the nest has given me again, was that brotherhood. Where I know if I have issues or if I'm having a bad day, somebody else has walked down that path with me that's staying there. They're not just college-educated with, you know, a bunch of letters behind their name that are going to tell me what they think works because they've read it in a book or this is the new doctrine. These are people that have walked the walk. They've lived the life. They understand. And it's extremely effective. In regards to how I felt about the way the country felt about us coming back and then just the war in general. And, you know, you see all the support the troops stickers on the back of cars. But, I mean, nobody can tell you how many soldiers passed away last week fighting but they can tell you who won what at the Emmys or Grammys or whatever it was last week, or who, what sports teams are going to whatever championships. It's frustrating. But when I learned that everything at the Nest is given by donations, the food, the furniture, all the bills. I mean, there's a gentleman or a woman, we don't know who, gives a $10 donation every single month. And it restores my faith, you know, in the system that I thought forgot about us, in the communities around us that actually do care. And it makes me feel a lot better about going through what we did go through. Because it's kind of hard to come back and look at the way that both countries are right now and how things are going and just kind of wonder, what was it for? It was for each other. I mean, there was... I'm not going to get into that. But it's nice to be able to go to a place where I'm not looking over my shoulder. I'm feeling safe and secure again. Where the day-to-day stressors of living out in the cities or in just highly populated places with a lot of chaos, it's not there. And if it is there, when I go out with a couple of the friends, a couple of vets from the Nest, the anxiety, the panic attacks, I'm not looking on rooftops, windows, alleyways for the imaginary enemy. Like, I'm relaxed. I'm finally relaxed. It's been 3 years. I haven't slept, you know, more than two nights in a row with more than 2-3 hours of sleep in over 10 years. I sleep more now than I have since 2004 when we first got in country, which is massive, massive improvement. I've managed to stay sober for the last 5 months. I mean, it is helpful. If it wasn't for the Nest, I highly doubt I'd be sitting here before you today with this opportunity to speak, because life had become so unmanageable and just being turned down time and time again by the system that promised us, I was ready to end it. I really was. I just didn't want to live like that anymore. This is frustrating. And when she brought me in and she said that, you know, you can be here, and I felt horrible because I couldn't afford much to pay for rent. And she didn't hold any of that against me. And so I've tried to work as hard as I can every day to pull my weight around there to help the fellow veterans, especially the younger vets that are coming back from these conflicts that don't have the 10 years under my belt since their first tour and are still just going through the processes of, you know, learning what it is they're dealing with, to get past the false pride, you know, and the BS stigmas that we've been given. So it's been an honor to be there. It's the best thing that I've done since I enlisted. And it just, without it, I just wouldn't be here. So thank you for the chance to speak, and thank you for hearing us.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing your story. Does the other gentleman?
Hi. my name is Todd Westerbeck, and I am a Cold War vet. I actually spent 6 years in the U.S. Navy Submarine Service, and actually I had never ever dealt with any VA things at all. I was in 81 through 87, but then I had some things that happened in my life about 18 months ago, and everything just crashed down around me, and to the point where I didn't have a job anymore. I didn't have any insurance. And that was my first experience with the VA, which actually I thought was wonderful. I went through I was in when Dan was in the RRTP program in St. Cloud, and but I was basically homeless, or the places that I had to go were not healthy for me. I battled with substance abuse as well, alcohol, and I did get on a waiting list for a program that is down at the Minneapolis VA, I was on a waiting list, and I didn't really have any place to go. I learned about the Eagle's Nest, and I was going there maybe for 2 or 3 weeks, and that's what I told Melanie when I first got there. And so I went there, and it was like, wow, this is really different. But then when the VA found out that I was there, I was taken off the waiting list. So then here I was again, homeless. But now I've been there for about 5 months, and I've become part of the resident staff there, and it feels like my home. And I am planning on being there for a long time and helping to grow the Nest. We're just you know, we're 10% of what we can be there, if even that. And I think with the proper support, you know, we're going to be up, you know, instead of 42 vets, it's going to be 200 vets and different types of vets, female vets and families. And I just see the potential there. And this is kind of my new calling. I spent many years in the medical device industry, vice president of operations for a couple different companies. And it was always satisfying because it was in healthcare. But this is even more of a direct impact that I can have on vets and people. And I thank Melanie for the opportunity to be there. And I love every day. It's not an 8-to-5 job. It is a 24-hour-a-day job. And it's wonderful. And helping helps me in my sobriety and helps me in my growing to be able to give and – people get worried about coming up to me and asking for me to open up the door at 11 o'clock at night, and it's like, I have no problem doing that because, again, you're helping, and that helps me. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any other testifiers or anybody else that wish to testify?
We don't have any, Madam Chair. We can take some questions, but I think there's maybe some others that want to testify. Here, I can slide over. I'll just get up.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. My name is Mike McKelney. I'm the Legislative Director for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And we have just a few things to say. First of all, I would concur with everything that the last veteran just stated as far as the terror of war that's never brought up in any of these committees. I can certainly understand what he has gone through. I can tell you that there are choices that these young veterans have to make immediately, such as walking up on a person as you're moving through an objective and their internal bowels are hanging out and they are bleeding out, and things that go through your mind as well. It's legal through our rules of engagement and the laws of warfare that I just shoot this person right here and move on. Or I can sit here and wait to see if someone's going to provide him help because I have no medical gear that I can spare. But if I shoot him, then the people we're here to support will potentially lose rapport with them. These things happen day in and day out. So I understand everything that this veteran is going through. I know it well. But beyond that, MDVA believes that we have spoken to some of the authors in the House on this bill, and we know there was some mention made about potentially finding funding through the Support Our Troops account 190.19. And so we have some questions. We don't fully understand if this is going to be a joint effort between Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Military Affairs. The commissioner would want to tell you that he believes strongly that the Support Our Troops account is actually what he considers donations from the public to support veterans and not revenues that should be mandated by the legislature for any particular cause. Now, we realize that you are the legislature and you can do what you want, but the commissioner would want to pass that message on to you. And then in addition to that, we visited with Melanie and went up to the Nest and spent most of the morning and the afternoon as well. And she's certainly performing a noble mission up there. MDVA believes that whatever may come, we believe that there would probably need to be some additional oversight for the funds. We don't know of any other agency that provides funding to various organizations without some kind of regulation or oversight. And those are some of the concerns that we made clear to Melanie early this morning. So we would just want you to consider that. We believe and I think Melanie might even concur that a lot of what she's able to do and the progress they're able to make is because they don't follow a lot of rules and don't have a lot of oversight. And so we just want you to understand that as we understand funds in this bill as they're outlined, that there may not be a lot of oversight with that. And so we have some concerns about that.
Any questions from anybody? Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. McElhinney, you're saying that the request here doesn't strictly come from for Support Our Troops is a part of a bipartisan type between Veterans Affairs and Military Affairs. Is that how that is both agencies have oversight on the Support Our Troops account?
Madam Chair and Senator Anderson, the Support Our Troops account, there is funding that is generated through the sale of those license plates, and Military Affairs receives a portion, and Veterans Affairs receives a portion. And the delete all bill that I was hearing about, I don't know if it was clear as to which side of the House that would come from, or if it would come from both sides of the House, or how that would work.
Madam Chair, Ms. Butler might have a little additional insight on that.
Okay. Ms. Butler?
I did speak with the Commissioner about the Support Your Troops Fund. I knew there was going to be some resistance to that program, but I can tell you this, that I take care of all veterans from Minnesota, including current Minnesota National Guard members. I may not do it the clinical setting or the way that people are accustomed to it, but I do it our military family way, and that's just by doing what's right. So I have veterans that have resided, came, and received board and lodge love and support from both the Minnesota National Guard and our past veterans that live in our state. And isn't that the purpose of Support Your Troops? Would be my question.
Thank you. Any other questions from members?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Anderson.
Madam Chair, the bill says, or the delete all says, in a special revenue fund, and I'm, because it's coming out of Veterans Affairs and yet was mentioned Military Affairs, I'm not really sure from a standpoint of an accounting where that fund is situated, and maybe Mr. McAnally can tell me if it's in Veterans Affairs, because that's what the bill, but you mentioned Military Affairs, so I'm just, it's kind of, it looks like it's in limbo right now.
Mr. McHenry.
Madam Chair and Senator Anderson, yeah, I didn't see this amendment, and I do see that it says the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs shall use $100,000 from the Support Our Troops account, so I would believe that to mean that just from Veterans Affairs, the funding would come from the Support Our Troops account.
And Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Anderson.
And Mr. McElhaney, the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs is hesitant then, the fact that it's going to come out of his account. The requests have been made before to that account. Is there something else that would be more important than helping out veterans at this point?
Madam Chair and Senator Anderson, the concerns that the Commissioner has is that the donations, the funds that go into the Support Our Troop account are for buying license plates, and those are donations and not general fund dollars. The Commissioner believes that if this is in fact a priority, I believe that the original bill stated that it would be funds from the general fund. I don't think there was a lot of issues with that. The Support Our Troops account, well, beyond that, some of the issues we have is typically when funds have been used from the Support Our Troop account, there was an instance where there was a one-time appropriation from that account to MACV a couple of years ago, and MACV had been receiving appropriations for, I believe, about 8 years prior to that. They were a very advanced or mature organization, and there's a lot of regulation and oversight that they have. They follow the definition of veteran as set out in 197.447. There's resident requirements to be a resident of Minnesota to receive some of the assistance within those funds. And so those are all the conscripts that we would think would be necessary as part of receiving some of those funds, and that we would want to bring to your attention that we believe would be necessary. And at this point, we don't, the bill doesn't go that deep. So just wanted to mention that.
So, Madam Chair, what's the intent of the committee?
This will be laid over for possible inclusion. And then I believe Mr. Lundeen has some possible answers to your question on where the funds reside.
Okay. Yes, thank you. In statute, there is the Minnesota Support Our Troops account is set up. And there are, within that, there is a portion that goes to the Department of Military Affairs, and there's specific statutory authority for that. And then there is also another subdivision dealing with Department of Veterans Affairs. So I think in the amendment, I think Ms. James has come up with a solution that will make it clear that it is coming from the Department of Veterans Affairs Support Our Troops account.
Ms. James.
Madam Chair and members, at the end of line 1.4, after from, insert the money appropriated to the Department of Veterans Affairs from, and then on line 1.6, after the comma, insert subdivision 2A, comma.
Can we get that again, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. On line 1.4, after from, insert the money appropriated to the Department of Veterans Affairs from, and then on line 1.6, after the comma, insert subdivision 2A, comma.
Any questions on that?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Anderson.
So, Ms. James, is this, in your estimation, will meet the reservations that Mr. McElhaney has expressed here at committee?
Madam Chair, Senator Anderson, I would defer to Mr. McElhaney.
Madam Chair and Senator Anderson, I may want to defer to our deputy. Typically, when there's a service out there, there's an RFP and there's an outline of what services will be provided, and we haven't discussed any of that. It's I believe you just recently received your 501c3 status for about a year now, a year and a half or so, and so there's it's still a young organization that we still have a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. That go unanswered to understand. It's just a little bit different. Not that that's wrong, but it's different. It would be a different way, I think, than we typically go about having a pass-through funding grant, if that's what this would be. And so there are concerns that we have that, we would want any funding that came from the department to have some kind of restrictions, definitions assigned to it. Veterans, for example, as defined in 197.447, that the folks that this would go to would be Minnesota residents. So I hope that answered your question.
Senator Names.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And refer this to the gentleman. The department, you said that you have some concerns and stuff. Can you cite any instances where you feel something has been done negligently by this organization?
Mr. McElhaney.
Madam Chair and Senator, no, we don't have any examples of something bad that's happened there. This is just a somewhat out of the ordinary type organizations relative to the supportive services that veterans would typically receive. The processes, I think, that veterans would typically go through. Not that that's wrong or bad. We've heard from witnesses that the non-traditional path is probably a better path, or it worked for them. So we don't have any issues with that, and we don't have any issues that it's different. We just would want to have some sort of compliance issues or methods in place to ensure that the state funds, the revenues, the taxpayer dollars are going towards Minnesota residents and what Minnesota has defined as a veteran and those sorts of issues.
Senator Anderson.
Madam Chair, so if we lay this bill over, then what would be the next, the timeline as far as when it would be picked up again? And in that time, maybe the participants in this bill could work some of the details out here, and hopefully at the next hearing we come forward with something that would be more appropriate or more acceptable to all parties?
For part of your answer, I agree with you. I was going to urge them to work together and consider our tight deadlines to work together and come to some type of resolution. And then what I will ask our committee administrator what the
Madam next Chair, Senator Anderson, at this point in time, we'll be having hearings every day aside from Thursday. So we've got about until the 28th of March for the stakeholders to work together. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Okay, if there are no other further questions, then I would lay this over and urge the stakeholders. So I will lay over Senate File 2086, and I urge the stakeholders.
As amended?
As amended.
Madam Chair, okay.
We didn't, yeah.
Madam Chair,
yes, Senator Westrom.
The last oral amendment, I don't recall that it was voted on, so procedurally I just wondered if that's beneficial to have voted on, so at least it's...
Do we want to, Senator Anderson, do you?
Yes, I'd like to move that amendment.
Okay, Senator Anderson moves the oral amendment read by Ms. James. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No. So the amendment passes. And then with that, we will lay over Senate File 2086 as amended for possible inclusion and again urge the stakeholders to work together to come to a resolution. Thank you,
Madam Chair and members.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing your stories. Next on the agenda, we have Senate File 2404, Senator Housley. I know I saw her earlier. Yep, there she is. Veterans Rest Camp Appropriation.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I have Senate File 2393. I don't know how it got to be 2404 on the agenda, but
sorry,
it's 2393, and I do have an amendment.
Good catch. Yes, I do have the amendment. Is this a delete all? This is a delete all, so it is to get it in the form that you would like. Senator Ames moves the amendment.
So move.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Amendment is adopted.
Thank
Senator
you, Madam
Housley.
Chair and the committee. This is a bill for an act relating to the parks and trails and appropriating money for improvements to the veterans camp on Big Marine Lake. I would recommend that this bill be passed and laid over. The veterans camp has been providing year-round recovery for recreational facilities for our military veterans since 1926. 8% of our Minnesota population are veterans, and a majority of them live within 40 miles of the veterans camp. I have with me some testifiers that would like to tell you what they need the money for and what they'd like to do with it.
Start with Kevin.
We'll start with Kevin.
Thank you. Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Kevin Gunderson. I am a veteran of the United States Air Force, served for 26 years. I am currently on the board of directors to represent the veterans of Ramsey County on the board. The Disabled Veterans Rest Camp was established in 1926 to assist disabled veterans recovering through rest and outdoor recreation. Today, Veterans Campground in Washington County serves approximately 10,000 people each year, and in the past 5 years, we've seen an incredible increase in two different categories of veterans that use the camp and its programs. The first category is younger veterans. This is clearly the result of Minnesota Guard and reservists having been deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan these past 10 years. In turn, these younger veterans bring their young families to the camp to enjoy the benefits of recreation and recovery together. The second category is elderly veterans. Veterans from the Korean War are now senior citizens in their late 70s and older, and veterans from the Vietnam War make up our new senior citizens. Many of these elderly veterans are disabled, so again, they bring their families and friends to the camp to be part of their recreation and recovery. The reason for our grant request is because Veteran Campground is in need of upgrading two areas that would greatly benefit these two categories of veterans and their families. The first is an upgrade playground area. The camp has been operating for 88 years, and the playground area and equipment is very old and requires extensive repair. It is exciting to see all of these young families and children at the camp, and for them and the next generation of veterans, we need to upgrade the playground area with new equipment that is safe and beneficial. The second project is one that will greatly benefit all camp visitors, but especially the disabled veterans. The camp has two partial trails that need to be connected over a wetland area in order to make it one continuous trail through the woods and over the wetland. This connecting boardwalk would allow any disabled veteran with mobility assistance to fully navigate the trail system. Additionally, Veteran Campground recognizes the wonderful trail system of Washington County and Big Marine Park Reserve and would one day like to connect the system. Having a connected boardwalk would be a prerequisite for tying in the Big Marine Park Reserve Master Plan trail system. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you. And next, please state your name for the record.
My name is Lori Allness, and I am a Marine Corps and Army veteran, having served 25 years in the Army and Marine Corps. The camp is managed by a 16-member board of directors, and each board member is a volunteer and is a veteran, and each represents a veteran organization or a county. I'm a representative on the board for the American Legion of Minnesota, and I'm also the president of the board. While Kevin spoke about specific needs for the grant of a at the camp, I'd like to highlight four points about the importance of the camp and the partnership with not only the community, but also with the state. First, the camp's mission is to assist with the rest and recovery of veterans, and many of the activities and programs are directly for veterans. In addition, the camp does host numerous events throughout the year that are open to the public as well, such as patriotic programs like Memorial Day, Flag Day, and 4th of July. And we have people from throughout the state that attend. This is part of the camp's focus of educating the public on the sacrifices veterans have made for our country and to partner with the community for volunteer opportunities. Second, Veterans Campground is the only yellow campground in the United States. Our action plan for taking care of veterans was approved by both the military and the state of Minnesota. Our camp recognizes it is important to partner with the public and the private, with these entities, and this is why we feel that Minnesota is one of the leaders in the United States for encouraging businesses, cities, organizations, and even entire counties to be yellow ribbon. Third, many of the veterans and visitors at the camp come from out of state, many staying the entire summer. This is a tremendous amount of veterans conjugating here in Minnesota, which is an economic benefit for our community and for Minnesota as a whole. Lastly, because the camp is recognized by the public as being a successful reintegration venue for veterans, we have many organizations that step forward to offer assistance in the form of time and labor that is donated. We are a nonprofit camp, and we work very hard to foster the sense of volunteerism in order to run the camp programs, to maintain trails and cabins and memorial gardens, and to complete needed projects like assembling and installing playground equipment or connecting a boardwalk to a trail system. For 88 years, our camp has accomplished its mission through a strong partnership between veterans and community. We have the volunteer force ready, and we respectfully ask that you support this grant request that would assist the camp for caring for veterans in the next generations. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And do you have another testifier that wants to say anything?
Madam Chair, I think he's just here if there's any questions.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any questions from the members? Senator Anderson.
I had a chance to go through all the numbers here. I'm just wondering if there's been an estimate on the boardwalk that was mentioned here.
Should be included in the packet.
Is it in the packet?
I believe it is. Senator Anderson, I believe it's 53,000.
Oh, 56,000. 56,000,
yeah, 56, okay. I believe. 56,000.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, with that, I will lay over Senate File 2393 as amended. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, if I could thank Representative Detmer and Senator Anderson for help on this. And also, this is Ken Gibson. I should have at least introduced you.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Thank you. Okay, members, we will not be meeting this Thursday. Moving forward, starting next week, we're most likely going to be meeting every available day. The hearing on next Tuesday, March 18th, has already been posted, and the agenda will be finalized by this Friday. And as bills continue to work through policy committees, more will be coming our way. Any other questions? So with that, we are adjourned. Thank you.